Welcome back to another bodacious episode of Legally Judgy. Okay. I'm your co-host, Alexa.
And I'm Nicole.
I got you on that one, huh?
Bodacious is just so random. Like,
I was ready. I had to come up with something special for this episode.
Did they say that on that show we were just watching? Is that where it came from?
Bodacious?
Bodacious.
I actually don't know where that came from.
Okay.
I looked into the stars and asked for inspo, and that's what I got.
Okay, good for
bodacious
you.
Bodacious it is today, because this is going to be a bodacious episode.
All right.
This is a big one for us.
It is.
We're officially completing season one.
We did it.
Of LJ.
We did it. We did it. Mm. We did it. Hooray. Mm.
Mm. One day when we go to audio video. Oh. What are the words? Oh, that's a remix.
We did it.
Oh, the end. Yeah. I was thinking of the beginning when she's on her search.
Do-do-do-do-do-Dora. That one?
Whoa. Are we a Dora fan? You know, like all of, you
I
know
happen to have a sister who is much younger than me. Yeah, so sure. Have I watched episodes of Dora?
I have all six soundtracks. I love Dora. What's the song then when they go on their quest? Here we go. Everybody, come on, let's get to it. I know that we can do it.
First of all, the opening line is, come on, vamanos.
Oh, see.
Everybody, let's go.
I don't speak Espanol.
Okay.
Yo no sé.
Move on.
How you doing?
Good. Did you finish telling us or telling the people that this was the end of season one for us?
Or no, because you wanted,
cut you off
wanted
on Dora,
to sing Dora.
So, sorry, go ahead.
Hold on. I have to interrupt you. I have a great tune in my head.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just, this is for us. I mean, congrats to us to getting through a whole season of our podcast.
Without murdering each other. This could have ended in a murder crime podcast, but we're still here. Everybody's still
murder
alive.
Murder crime. There'd just be one of us impersonating the other one.
I would just be like, yeah, I killed her.
You just admit it?
It happened.
And producer Marge would gladly just air it
for
you.
It was heat of the moment, so I've got a defense.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure you would have definitely gotten away with that one. How about let's do something nostalgic. How about something sweet? Like, what was a favorite moment of yours over season one? Could be behind the scenes, could be something, you know, our listeners don't know, or it could be something on an episode that we actually aired.
Yeah, that's fine. Behind the scenes.
Okay.
So there was one day where we recorded this super long episode. I think it was like a little bit over an hour, or was up there near an hour.
Okay.
And normally when we finish our episodes, right, we stop and, you know, our producer Marge checks over the episode, makes sure everything sounds okay. You know, we're pretty perfect, so she has minimal edits to make.
Pretty, yep.
We're pretty and perfect.
Easiest job in the universe.
Yep. She's got minimal edits to make.
More so, egos to manage.
That, a lot of that.
Yep.
A lot of upset talent.
Yep.
And so she was playing it back, and it became very clear that the sound was not merged. Mm-hmm. And it was only playing out of one headphone at a time. And so for some reason, Apple was not being cooperative. It was becoming very clear that the talent was getting nervous. Producer Marge was a little stressed out, a little upset.
A couple veins were pulsing.
We were all really hungry, though. Hadn't eaten in hours.
Yep.
But we just sat there quietly, just super awkwardly until things were resolved.
Yep. Fiverr. Shout out to Fiverr.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? Molinas. Dave Molinas.
Dave Molinas in...
Shout out to Dave Molinas.
In Bolivia?
Somewhere.
He was somewhere not in the United States.
Great guy.
Fixed our audio so you could hear both of us out of both speakers.
I love a good awkward, tense moment.
Yeah, that was a good one. How lovely back on.
What's your favorite?
My favorite Legally Judgy moment may be, well, if we're going to go with awkward moments, maybe like completely re-recording two episodes. For people that, you know, have been with us from the get, so you know, the Selena episode, which actually was a banger for Legally Judgy, we completely re-recorded.
Yep.
And the GameStop episode, we completely re-recorded.
It was tough days.
Yeah, we attempted to record GameStop probably 5.2 million times because neither of us are finance people.
Mm-hmm.
But we felt like it was an important one to give our audience insight into.
Yeah.
Which we'll never do again. So if anybody wants finance stuff.
Sorry.
We're going to have to point you to another podcast. Yeah. And then Selena, we just felt like we needed to up our game. And we did some more research that same night and came back the next morning and recorded.
Yeah, that was, I think, when you spilled mimosa all over your computer because we were so excited.
That was the day I was trying to get a cute picture to make us feel better. And instead,
it all went wrong.
Instead, a sugary beverage landed on my computer and it died. And so then I was using... What computer?
She took it like a champ, though. She honestly ended up like just... completely turning it over and walking away.
Yeah.
And she just kept drinking and having a good time. You know, I was really proud of you.
Well, I'm good at compartmentalizing. And then at that moment, I was like, look, we just recorded 4 episodes in the span of 12 hours. Yeah. I don't care anymore. I don't care. I can't even feel.
Yeah.
So it was a good time.
Wait, I've got one more favorite.
Okay, go.
Okay, so we're obviously preparing for our summer schedule, which we told you guys about. So we're going to only drop 2 episodes in August and 2 in September. Mm-hmm. And so as we get ready for this, you know, Alexa and I are going to be in different places, moving around, traveling, doing some vacay. Mm-hmm. And so we got our little to-go headset. And so we got this headset like 3 weeks ago to try it out.
Yeah.
Realized it did not work with the laptop. So we ordered the piece for the laptop, for the headphone part.
Yeah.
And then got on the phone again to test it last night and realized that we didn't have the other piece for the microphone part, but that part was my fault because I saw that there were 2 cords and just ignored one of them and was like, I'm not sure what that's for. I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah. I think you just revealed to the people who's the more of the tech person business relationship. It's definitely me. And yep. So mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. took it out in the box, which I never got to see. So I was like, why isn't the mic working? Your headset was working, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going, Nicole, do you see, right? We're virtual. I'm at my apartment. You're at yours. Do you see any other cords? And you go, oh, is this it? And it was like a cord that's not plugged in. I just thought it was an extra. Like, for what? Decoration?
In my mind, I really thought like it was for a proper full setup like we have when we're, you know, in our studio.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was necessary for...
Not necessary. It's funny. A lot of gadgets come with unnecessary ports and wires. I don't think we need that.
Whoops. Well, anyways.
This is a good little BTS moment.
We've had a successful first season. Of course, we have to thank all of our followers, our listeners, our fans for being a part of this.
Our enemies, our trolls.
Our enemies and the trolls, too.
You fuel us. Everyone fuels us.
Pitbull has told us we need haters to stay successful.
We definitely do. Don't forget about us. We're still, you know, coming out with 2 episodes, like Nicole said, in August and another 2 in September. We're still going to be shooting our pop culture videos. So check out our Instagram and our TikTok because mm-hmm. that's still going to be going crazy. And tell everybody you know about us and go leave us a review. Yes. We say this at the top and the bottom of the episode, but we couldn't stress it enough. It means so much to us. Tell like 3 people that you know mm-hmm. about us. Mm-hmm. Really helps us keep the BTS moments going.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, with that, we got an interesting, fun, I think, end of season episode for everybody, right? Because we're going to do a kind of a sampling of updates.
A charcuterie board.
A charcuterie.
If you will.
Charcuterie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we are refined. Pinky up, my friend.
No pinky up.
Why?
The sorority that is opposing to my sorority puts their pinkies up, so I would never put my pinky up.
Oh, there's a sorority war?
Kind of war. Let's not get carried away.
I don't know what you guys do.
Drug wars.
I don't know. Oh, drug wars. I wasn't in a sorority in school. I was in the chess club. So talk about rivalries.
I mean, listen, I respect everybody, but that's their sign. I have my own sign.
What's your sign then? What can I put up? Not a pinky?
It's called a mid. We throw up something that looks like a triangle because our, you know.
What? Like the Illuminati?
No. Okay. The Illuminati does not use a triangle. They use the diamond. Mm. Anywho. So we have done all of the things this season, but I feel like it's only right that we start off with updates on none other than Mrs. Chapo.
If not at all, then to be able to just reference Los Chapolitos one more time.
It's Chapitos.
I mean,
you added an extra L. Put some respect on the Chapitos.
Okay, do you think the Chapitos are advertising themselves as Los Chapitos?
I don't know, but I'm just saying, do you want to fuck their name up and they come find us?
Their name is definitely not Chapitos, so if we're worried about
Los Chapitos.
That is not official. They do not co-sign this.
Oh.
Do you think that they would want to be called Little Chapos? Because that's what it translates to.
Sounds intense to me.
They're taller than their father. There's no way they want to be.
Well, that's also low threshold.
I mean, literally.
He's like 4'9", so.
Literally.
Yeah.
He makes me feel tall. Okay, let's get into it. So Chapo updates. What do you got for us?
Okay, so quick debrief, right? So El Chapo's wife was a beauty
Mrs.
queen.
Chapo.
Sorry, Mrs. Chapo. Emma Coronel something. Espero.
Something?
Something. It's been a long time. Bear with me. So she was a former beauty queen who was the daughter of a narco and ends up getting married to like the drug lord.
Yeah.
Like capital V, who's El Chapo. So she lives the high life with him until he's arrested and he's put in prison. This is also after she helps break him out one time. If you have not heard that breakout story, go listen to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up being arrested by federal agents in February at the D.C. airport. And she's shortly thereafter charged with conspiracy to distribute cocaine, meth, heroin, and marijuana in the United States. They say that she helped relay messages that assisted the drug trafficking and through 2012, 2014, even while he was in prison. So technically, if she got, you know, charged or, you know, found guilty of these things, the minimum sentence is 10 years in prison and the max is life in prison.
Ouch. Not so looking good.
No.
Where's she and, now? You know, in early June, she actually pled guilty, which I have to say I'm not surprised by because she really did.
No choice.
Yeah, she kind of basically, talk about getting arrested. I mean, she basically gave up, right? She turned herself in, essentially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she's going to be sentenced in September, actually. And a lot of people think she's going to give up some information. And that is supposed to be in exchange for a reduced sentence. But I have to say, Mrs. Chapo, if you're listening, I do not recommend that.
Do you think she gets access to our podcast in prison?
Probably not. I really hope the Chapitos don't. Yeah. I'm going to say that because I don't want them knowing that we're making fun of them. No. We're not making fun of you guys.
We actually
not
love
at all.
You.
No, we think don't. We just wanted to come up with like something that people would remember you guys by. Yeah. Hopefully this is suitable for you
guys.
We
definitely put it on t-shirts. Chapitos. We won't Los even Chapitos? Ask for a cut of the idea.
Los Chapolitos. See, I thought I would remix it. We don't like that. Los Chapitos.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's where I do. That's where we're at with her. So we'll see how it goes later this year with her. But as of right now, she's got to sleep with one eye open.
Yep.
Because either way, it's not a good situation for her.
It is not.
All right, let's move on.
People who are having better situations, though.
Really much better situations.
Phenomenal.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
Now I know how to say his name. Not Lil Nas.
Lil Nas. No.
Lil Nas.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it could be short for nasty. Lil Nas.
No, but it's not.
Okay. That's fine. Want to give us a quick debrief?
Sure. So Lil Nas dropped the Montero video back in the late winter, Call Me By Your Name.
The late winter.
That song. And around the time of the music video, he drops what's called the Satan Shoes with this sneaker brand distributor called Mischief. And so as a reminder, the Satan Shoes are Nike Air Max 97s that have a pentagram with one drop of blood, Luke 10:18, which is a scripture basically about the devil, and an inverted cross on the sole and they were going for $1,018 because it's a reference to Luke 10:18. Mm-hmm. So because of this, Nike's obviously upset. They don't really want to be affiliated with the devil, which feels right given their brand and their consumer base, all of those things.
A lot of people were upset.
Lots of people were mad. They were protesting Nike and saying they weren't going to buy their stuff anymore. So Nike, you know, gets involved. They're pissed off. So they end up suing Mischief, who again is the shoemaker / distributor over the shoes. So right. Last that we left things, the suit had really just been brought. So what's happened since then?
They actually ended up settling. Actually, like not that long after we recorded the episode and released it, both released formal statements clarifying that Nike had nothing to do with Satan, the shoe, or Satan himself,
okay,
or the Jesus shoes, because if you guys will recall, Mischief also had released a Jesus-themed shoe before that. So, you know, they're not all Satan, they're for both, they're just equal opportunity. Mischief did a voluntary recall of the shoes and offered a full refund to people.
Voluntary. I'm going to put that in quotes.
Voluntary. Yeah, I should.
Yeah.
As part of the settlement, right? They don't want to get
super voluntary.
Because again, the big thing was that people thought that Nike had basically co-signed all this. So that's why they were doing all this. So basically refunds, there we go. Not only on the Satan shoe, interestingly enough, but the Jesus shoe too. And that was sold back in 2019.
Yep.
And then basically this whole reason was to attempt to remove them from circulation. Mm-hmm. Nike doesn't want any of them to exist in the resale markets or what, because these were going resale value like
thousands of dollars.
I think even in the tens of thousands of dollars. Wow. I don't know if anyone actually purchased them, but they were on sale for that much, like 10,000 plus, which is crazy. So we don't know the terms of the settlement, right? It's private. Mm-hmm. We just know that as a result of a settlement, that Nike's going to drop their lawsuit. Yep. They don't have to go to court anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some sum of money was paid out. But I think personally, Nike didn't care so much about the financial payout. Yeah. They just didn't want the shoes in circulation. And even more than that, I think that they wanted to make it clear to everybody that they did not make this shoe.
And I think it was all about the reputational harm. Like, I think that was all they cared about, is having that, you know, especially given, excuse me, the brand and customer loyalty that Nike has across truly the globe.
Yeah.
For them, it was all reputation, all image, optics.
Right. And how did our boy Lil Nas X react?
Well, so Lil Nas X recently dropped a video called Industry, and in the video, he's mocking the court case and basically pointing out how people care more about him being gay than the actual sneakers. It's interesting, right? Because as a refresher, he was actually not named in the lawsuit. It was Nike versus Mischief. So I thought it was really interesting when I saw the video that he was portraying it like it was Nike versus Lil Nas X when it was not at all. So, I mean, clearly he's just doing this, A, to poke fun of things because he's known for mocking everything, but also B, really just to bring attention like back to himself in the moment that Montero has, you know, turned into.
Using publicity. And if people have not yet heard that episode, go listen to it, because I think that actually was probably, when we're talking about reflecting, probably one of the more interesting legal cases because of all the trademark issues.
Yeah.
So if you're geeky and into our podcast because you're just interested in IP legal stuff, go check it out.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right. So good job, Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X.
Congrats on that music video.
I still need to watch that full video.
I've only seen clips. I saw the scene with the nude male dancers.
Oh, I like that. They were popping, locking
it. Yeah, they were getting it.
Pop, lock, and drop it.
Just like that, girl. Just like, it wouldn't be an episode without you singing somehow. So we got Dora and we got Pop, Lock, and Drop It. Both very similar
tunes.
That was
a great song. Throwback.
The Dora?
Millennials, or babies. Okay. Well, both, but I was really thinking Pop, Lock, and Drop It. Yeah. Okay, I was not singing Dora in the club.
Yeah, okay.
Not yet. They could probably remix that, though.
They would find a way. Everybody, let's go. Go. Pew, 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 pew.
Oh, she's never been to a techno club, clearly. Oh, my God. That came way too naturally for you.
Dang, I might need to be a DJ.
Okay. All right, Pauly D.
All right. Next update for us.
What Pauly do we got? D. Not Pauly D. Tommy G.
Tommy G.
So Tom Girardi of Erica Jane. Erica Girardi from Real Housewives Beverly Hills.
Yep.
As a reminder, Tom is Erica's husband. So he was a highly regarded lawyer in California who was accused of embezzling money and stealing millions from clients. The trustee basically claims that he owes more than $56 million to clients, creditors, and lenders at this point. And as a reminder, some of his clients were the Lion Air victims, cancer patients, people who had been affected by gas bombs,
gas leaks,
explosions of gas, you know, pipes and things in their houses. And
basically the most egregious ways to get harmed.
Really a lot of sad things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He repped them.
Could not get more sad.
Mm-hmm. He declares bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And there was a federal criminal investigation that was launched shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he was actually approved for a COVID relief loan of around $1.5 million before filing for bankruptcy. Unclear if the firm ever got that money, but very
shady.
Sus.
Shady nonetheless.
Yeah.
But why would you even apply for that?
Because his whole deal, again, if you have not listened to this episode, go back. It's called Girardi Family Values. We released it in February, but it has all the details. And he was just borrowing new money to pay back old money that he had borrowed, essentially. Yep. So I'm sure this is part of that whole Ponzi scheme, right?
Yeah.
So it probably went to pay back something.
Yeah.
I'd imagine. So Erica Jane, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, filed for divorce in November 2020. They did not have a prenup, and she sought spousal support and requested that the court terminate the request from Tom, who also requested spousal support.
What a mess.
So it is so messy.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, both of their assets have been frozen since December 2020 because the court opined that the divorce might be a sham to protect the assets. Because when this was first coming out, we thought, they're just faking the divorce. Tom's going to transfer all of his assets to Erica so that if any of the creditors went after, or the victims went after Tom, he would have nothing, but Erica would have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we think? There's a lot going on. What has happened?
A million things.
Fill us in.
So first of all, Tom got kicked out of his house in Pasadena, which was the house that she would always show in the show. I think it had like 15 bathrooms and 6 bedrooms, which made no sense to me because how does one need so many bathrooms for so few bedrooms?
But he's so old. Kay. Was he really like running around using all the bathrooms? He probably had one good bathroom.
He actually may have been.
Yeah.
Maybe he needed to relieve himself in different places. I don't know.
Every 5 seconds?
Things get crazy when your organs start to get a little bit older.
Yep.
But so anyways, he gets kicked out of the house in Pasadena. The house was worth approximately $16.5 million, allegedly, but it's now on sale for $13
million.
And
what a bargain.
And not great for him. He probably needs those $3.5 million. But
well, others do, yeah.
The good news is if it actually ends up being sold, money from the sale will go directly into the trust that will be distributed as the court basically deems fit to the creditors and the lenders, same thing, sorry, to the lenders and then to any victims slash clients that he never paid. Mm-hmm. Apparently, though, Erica had already moved into a $1.5 million house in LA with only 3 beds and 2 baths.
The poor thing.
Crazy.
She's slumming.
Impoverished.
$1.5 million?
Struggling. I can't even imagine.
That's, I laugh at that. I spend that in a day on my glam squad.
Okay.
So, sadly, Tom was diagnosed with dementia and late-onset Alzheimer's in February. There has been some speculation, though, that this diagnosis is pretty convenient. Mm-hmm. We obviously don't know. We're not medical experts. We're not involved directly. But, okay, we'll go for it. Forensic and clinical psychologist actually testifies and says that he's unfit to attend court proceedings for the foreseeable future. Then in June, his younger brother, Robert, becomes a permanent conservator, which... Right. We've talked a lot about in our Britney Spears episode.
Yeah, yep.
So, you know, and we'll talk about it in a moment, actually, because we're going to give some good updates on Britney. So just know he has an official conservator now. So the brother is essentially making all of Tom's choices, personal, like health and financial, including legal matters and everything to do with these proceedings and the bankruptcy and everything. Right. Mm-hmm. Tom did say he doesn't agree with it, but he's consented to the structure with the court. And to be honest, if he's going to claim these things, it's legally better for him to go this route and say, yeah, conservatorship it is.
For sure.
Right.
That's not, you know, it's only giving him but so much protection. Basically, in early March, he lost the ability to practice law in California. And so the California Bar Association basically pulled his license, citing this temporary conservatorship case. This is obviously before Robert had been made permanent conservator. But so when you go to the California Bar website, interestingly, he's actually listed as not eligible to practice law. And there's an alert that says that he allegedly misappropriated client funds. So they're clearly taking this pretty seriously.
Finally.
And listen, it doesn't mean a whole lot, right, that they pulled his license since he's already closed down his practice. But the bar, I think, is doing this to prove a point and send a clear message. They're not going to allow these kind of violations of the obligations that lawyers have, just as lawyers in the state, but also to their clients.
I think they had to, too, because they also came under fire because there was a lot of speculation like, hey, why didn't you do something sooner?
Yeah.
Right? That's part of the documentary we're going to talk about. But the documentary that comes out, stuff we talked about on an episode, there were red flags all before this. But he was so well connected, so powerful that the bar sounds like may have allegedly turned a blind eye mm-hmm. or didn't look into it seriously enough.
Yeah.
In either case, they better finally clear him out.
You're jumping the gun a little bit. So basically the LA Times after that basically recently reported on his chummy relationship with the state bar that allowed him to maintain a clear record despite these allegations of misconduct. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wonder if this was the bar subtly responding to that and saying like, okay, obviously there's a tension to us and why we weren't acting fast enough, so we're just going to pull the plug now, mm-hmm. for lack of better terms. I mean, the shitty part is, though, that he had clients, actually, that he was still working with when his license got pulled. Apparently, he was working on a lawsuit with approximately 36,000 people who lived near a 2015 gas leak, so now they'll need completely new counsel who's not,
right.
you know, not updated on the subject and what's happening, and they have to start all over, for lack of better terms.
Yep. No, it's sad in so many ways. And the California bar actually brought some disciplinary charges against him, misappropriating billions in client funds, dishonesty, moral turpitude in the legal practice. Mm-hmm. So again, it's all being laid on pretty thick.
Yeah. And it's not clear where this will go now that there's a conservator, because originally the California bar was worried that he wouldn't be able to proceed with their charges against him because of his mental incompetence. So now that his brother Robert has been made permanent conservator, it's just not, we're not sure what's going to happen. Like, will the California bar still pursue these charges, or will they just let it go and, I don't know, penalize him by a fine? It's not clear to me.
Yeah. Because practically we talk about this a lot, right? There's the legality of it and then there's the practicality of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the assets have been frozen. He's going into these proceedings, but practically what can be done? What can we do to rectify the damage he's done?
Yeah.
And that's going to be TBD.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're probably like, he's a lot older now too.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? So what else do we got?
Well, so he's still claiming that he had no idea where the money went, but he's saying that it didn't fund Erica's singing career, because if you remember, mm-hmm. we talked about how he allegedly, I think there are actually documents reflecting this, gave millions mm-hmm. of dollars to her little shell company
to sing. Over 20 million.
Something crazy.
Yeah.
He
told others, including co-counsel, that he had to wait for releases to be signed by the clients, but that everyone was ultimately paid out. Right. That is not true.
Feels... like an odd way to, it just feels like a very odd response given that we now have records that thousands of people have not gotten their money.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to say that's not true.
That is a very large.
I feel okay saying that's not true. Yeah. I'm not even going to say allegedly there. Like the money is not
there.
They did
not get it.
And so it's not really clear to your point what he's talking about. And seemingly the federal investigation is continuing and it's going to continue until they figure out where it went.
Mm-hmm.
So Erica, should we talk Erica about Jane, her for a second? Because there is some craziness.
You get into
so,
it, girl.
Talked about this, but this Hulu documentary comes out in June featuring victims and experts opining on the issues here. And this was a crazy documentary. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got access to voicemails that Tom had left on multiple clients' phones.
It was really crazy.
About, hey, so this, I'm not a bad guy. And that was honestly red flag number one. Mm-hmm. When somebody ever says, trust me, don't trust them. When someone says, I'm a good guy, they're not a good guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hello. And I think it was more heartbreaking, especially for us, because we did all this research, you know, and, and it, we felt it. But then watching it and seeing the victims and hearing them speak and even hearing Tom talk where you're like, oh, you did do this.
It was more sad, right? Because I think maybe that we looked at it in this more nefarious way and we had seen nothing or read anything about the victims besides knowing what their actual cases were, right? Mm-hmm. So we only had the facts. We didn't know the personalities. Mm-hmm. We didn't know who these victims were. We just knew that they existed. But then when you see the documentary, you see to your point that he was really kind of scamming them I think he just kept being like, I'm not a bad guy. Like, I'm going to pay it out. Give me until Tuesday, whatever the case is. I already wired it. It just hasn't gotten to you yet. But then I think about the guy who basically Tom gave him a job in the office, which also felt very like kind of slimy to me. Dirty. Because I was like, oh, you're trying to take advantage of this guy who's clearly trying to like rebuild a life for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And probably thinks, oh, I've got this great connection. I've got this great attorney. I'm going to learn all these things and build a career for myself. But it's really all just so you can, you know, kind of pull the blinds over his eyes and not give him his settlement money.
Yeah, I'm sure he felt better about it because I don't think that he probably feels much.
No.
I have to think that somebody who can do this much is a bit of a sociopath.
Yeah.
So maybe he thought, oh, look, I'm doing him some good because I've given him a job.
Yeah.
And it's like, hello, no. Like, there was just so many lies. Like, him saying, I have to call this out, but him saying that it was the judge's fault for not having the payment go through. And a judge is not involved at all.
No.
In the management of any fees. Mm-hmm. A judge has no say. The mm-hmm. judge gives their judgment and they're out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, oh no, this is complete BS. He totally did it, right? Because we, as lawyers, you guys hear us say allegedly, reportedly, because we're not there. We don't know. That's part of what being a trial attorney does. We have to argue facts. But that was the smoking gun for me.
Yeah.
So back to Erica, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We got a new season and she's talking sort of about mm-hmm. this stuff and sort of on social media. Mm. She shares that she tried to time the divorce news for election, like around election day. So it'd be overshadowed.
It was on election day.
On election day.
Yeah. She released the divorce news that day.
Lit.
Which feels, again, very slimy.
Yeah. How convenient. Yeah. She's saying that she had no knowledge of what he was doing and isn't capable of embezzling money because that's a true defense. It's up there with Ja Rule.
I think actually everybody's capable of embezzling money. I don't think it takes a whole lot besides keeping somebody else's money.
Look, if I don't know what embezzlement means, that means I can't do it. So, yeah, but I can steal money. I can't embezzle it. And it's not looking good for her, I'm going to say. It feels a little staged.
It all feels very staged. I mean, listen, I don't want to give away this season. If you haven't watched it, you definitely should. But the scenes where she's discussing what's happening feel very forced and scripted. And they feel a bit too cold for me because mm-hmm. I feel like, listen, I can't tell the people how to feel. I just imagine how I feel or even how you would feel. And I think if we were in a situation like that where our spouses had done something like that and we were then getting divorced, mm-hmm. it would be devastating.
Oh, yeah.
And it just feels very like, I have no emotions about this. I'm just going to say it very stoically and that's it.
Which, to your point, like, you want to mourn the divorce or the marriage loss however you want to. We don't need to see that. But what I've been very turned off by is, like, where's the feeling for the victims?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's none of that. And the coldness toward that is a turnoff for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, these are real people whose lives have been horrifically upturned in ways that I can't even imagine. And you don't seem to be even touching on that. Mm-hmm. You're just like, I can't talk about it, or this is not what happened. I didn't know. But what about at the end of the day, your divorce is one thing, but them going through what they did and then your husband doing this to them is another.
Right.
And maybe she knew. That's the part we don't know, right? Things are going to come out. But interestingly enough, we do have some papers that have come out where she has signed legal papers that aided Tom in borrowing millions. So I think the questions are increasing. It doesn't mean she knew it, anything, what those funds were being used for.
People are also alleging that it may not have been her signature and that he forged it on her behalf. Mm. So listen, I'm not saying that that's the end all be all and that she knew when she did it, but that doesn't look great, right?
Right. We're going to have to see what comes out.
Yeah.
So in June, her lawyers temporarily dropped her in connection with the bankruptcy case. And then they decide that they'll stay on. Don't know what happened there.
It was real quick flip-flop. It was 48 hours where it was like everywhere it was saying they had dropped her. And then by the next day, they had picked her back up again.
Do you think the PR team was like, no, you got to do this. You got to do this. Like, I wonder if it was that. Maybe it was a payment issue. Maybe they thought, how are we going to get paid? Do we want to rep you anymore? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what would make you drop a client and then pick them back up that quickly.
That was unusual. That was very interesting.
It was also right around the time of the Hulu doc. So my presumption was they saw that and they were like, maybe this is a little bit shadier than we thought it was going to be. Can't do it for our reputation. But then it's just not
right.
I don't know what made them change their minds.
Right. She paid the bill.
Yeah. I mean, so a judge recently ruled that three victims can actually look to Erica to collect $11 million that they were owed after a settlement for a gas explosion. My favorite part of this was that the day that the judge had ruled that the victims could look to Erica for their money, she posts on Instagram. It's this picture of her from this season. And there's a caption over it that says the Ice Queen can take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's how you, like, if that's the right PR move for a judge saying that three victims in a gas explosion can get money from you.
Right.
Like, even if you can take it, maybe that's just not the statement or the look that you want out there.
Do you think that this was in response to that? It's just the timing of it because it was same
the
day.
Same exact day.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and if it wasn't that, maybe pull it down as soon as you see what is happening.
Exactly.
Her PR team sucks.
That's where I was going with it. It's like, obviously it's not like she said to the victims,
right?
But just the timing of it, this is what we're talking, there's just this callousness. Ice Queen,
she's also very calculated. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, how do you not care about this stuff? Maybe they are two peas in a pod though.
Yeah.
So recent court documents from the bankruptcy lawyers claim that she received between $20 and $25 million in loans, in quotes, from Tom's law firm via like cash, jewelry, luxury items, right? A lot of stuff. They say she's created new companies and used glam to protect the money. Also claim that she hasn't been completely transparent in sharing her financial documents. They're having a lot of trouble getting information from her.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but they're basically, her team's using a lot of tactics to stall court proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they're just trying to buy time. I don't know from what, maybe doomsday. They're just trying to put it off as long as possible.
Yep.
But if you have waning bank accounts, that's only going to last you so long.
Yeah.
And the lawyers for the victims are worried that Erica may continue to sell assets that she has. She's trying to prevent the court from, like we said, taking her assets and claiming a lot of these were gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So she is not, she's not, I don't know, what's the word? I'm so like turned off by it. I think that's why I'm like.
She's, interestingly enough, on this season, she had a sale. Excuse me, she was selling some of her items.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember thinking about that after this whole thing came out with her lawyer, with the victim's lawyer saying that they were worried. And I was like, ooh, is that what she was doing when she was selling all her stuff on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything just feels very blurry and little.
No, it does. I mean, that's where I'm like, I used to like her and now I just have lost all respect. Because again, even if she did not know about any of this, and it's completely possible that she did not know anything.
Yep.
But now that she does, she definitely knows.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the help? And she might think, hey, not my problem.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, I can't help but be like, if I were in her shoes.
The way that she's handling it is just not, it's not great. It doesn't bode well for what people think of her and her involvement.
And it's good to note that no charges have actually been filed.
Mm-hmm.
We are still in this kind of weird limbo, like you said, this gray area. So we're going to have to see where things net out.
Yeah.
There's still a lot more information coming out. We're in like that discovery phase where they're just getting as many documents as possible. And then once they compile all that, we'll be able to get more information.
It'll definitely be interesting to follow this one.
Yes, this is a huge, huge one.
But, okay, so while Tom Girardi has found himself in a conservatorship, it seems like our girl Britney Spears may be coming out of one.
Possibly. Yeah. Hashtag free Britney.
Free Britney.
So is there a way to quickly summarize this one? I mean, remember, guys, go listen to the Britney episode. For all these, go listen to the original episode. This is not meant to be a holistic retelling.
Yeah.
But you want to try?
I'll try. So since 2008, Britney's been in a conservatorship, which covers her personal and financial matters following some issues that she had that people believed were tied to her mental health struggles at the time. Mm-hmm. And obviously everybody, you know, knows who Britney is. The paparazzi were stalking her. People were obsessed with her. She really had a rough time at the end of her, like the height of her stardom.
Right.
And so as a reminder, courts really impose conservatorships when they believe that somebody is unable to manage their own life or that they're susceptible to outside influence and manipulation. And this could be due to mental or physical limitations or age because, you know, I think conservatorships are quite common for older, much older people mm-hmm. and people who basically just like need help keeping their life in order. Yeah,
disabled in yeah. some sort of way.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And so there are two types of conservatorships in California. There's one over your financial matters and there's one over personal matters. And the personal matters includes medical care. Mm-hmm. So usually family members are appointed to manage the estate. And it also requires evidence to get into one. But oddly enough, or maybe not oddly enough, interestingly enough, it requires basically even more evidence to get out of a conservatorship than it requires to get into one.
And we should note, because of the people that are usually in them, part of the reason why it's harder to get out of them is because it's usually people who are disabled in some sort of way, in a permanent way, mm-hmm. or they're very old. So it's like old people just keep getting older. So getting out of conservatorships is not that it's not common.
Yeah.
And younger people who are not, you know, and this is the question that comes down to Britney, disabled in some sort of way are not usually in these conservatorships. Mm-hmm. So that's the question here. So originally, Jamie Spears, her dad, and his attorney, Andrew Wallet, were the conservators. And they controlled everything. Her visitors, business opportunities, mental health treatment, finances. I mean, everything, right? And it may have made sense originally since her dad was involved. We don't know that for mm-hmm. sure. So I'm not, it doesn't mean we're not hashtag free Britney, but the circumstances at the time, it could have been the case.
Yeah.
Usually courts are going to look at a lot of evidence and then say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully what we hope is that the court saw plenty of evidence to get her into one.
Yep.
Brittany has made it clear for some time that she wants her dad out and that she's not going to work anymore while he has control. But only recently it's become clear that she's actually opposed to the entire structure and not just his involvement, right?
Yeah.
So when we originally recorded this episode, we said she has never made a formal request mm-hmm. to get rid of the conservatorship. Mm-hmm. She had asked that he get out of it.
Yep.
And that's a big thing to note here.
Yeah. So in 2019, Jody Montgomery, who's a professionally licensed conservator, steps in and becomes Britney's personal conservator when she replaced Jamie, basically, who had been having some health issues at the time. Mm-hmm. So as a reminder, Jody would then step in to deal with personal stuff involving like mental health care and personal doctor's appointments and things like that.
Right.
So in 2020, Jamie, her dad, basically was only co-conservator over her estate with Bessemer Trust on the financial portion of things. And so at the end of 2020, this documentary comes out that everybody has now seen and mm-hmm. explosive.
Talked about. Yep.
Absolutely explosive. And so everybody turned their focus really back to this conservatorship where people, I think obviously the Free Britney clan was thinking about these things, but I would say the vast majority of people were not paying attention to Britney's conservatorship before this documentary came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as a result of the documentary, people start to have a lot of questions. Like they wonder why she needs a conservatorship and how she's able to work so much if she was unable to take care of herself because she had done the Las Vegas residencies.
That's what comes to mind.
And whether she's lost all of her freedom in this conservatorship and they just didn't know. And the questions continue. And, you know, interestingly enough, even government officials start to speak out against the arrangement, including your boy, Tom Cruise.
My boy.
Your bestie. And the super problematic Matt Gaetz, who's
nobody's boy.
Nobody's boy. He's a Florida congressman who had an underage girlfriend. So, you know, I don't know that I'm checking for your opinion, my friend.
Right.
But so they asked the House Judiciary Committee to hold a hearing on court-ordered conservatorships and basically reference the Free Britney movement. And so supposedly Matt is a longtime Spears fan and thinks that she should be free from conservatorship.
She was 15.
That's gross. I'm not hopping on that bandwagon with you.
I'm sure that's why, though.
And so basically he thinks that the conservatorship, the Constitution safeguards people's rights, including having a free will over their own affairs and finances, and that you may need to conduct oversight and find remedies when possible, but that largely people should be free to kind of manage their own lives.
Right. So now...
Now, post-pop. A million things have happened post since we did episode. This episode.
Yes. So in March, Britney's attorney who is court appointed, remember, files a petition to make Jody Montgomery the permanent conservator over Britney's personal matters, thus replacing her dad, Jamie Spears. Mm-hmm. Jamie continues to defend his role, though, as conservator, and says he's doing his best and that he saved her.
You're doing great, sweetie.
Yeah, exactly. He says that he got her finances in order and helped her see her sons again. And unfortunately for Britney, the judge denies that request. Mm-hmm. Late March, Britney's dad wants her to pay the bill for their legal battle, which is looking a lot pretty sus to a lot of us.
What a stand-up guy.
So he asked that the estate pay more than $3 million in legal fees. And crazy. By estate, I mean Britney. Yeah. This is coming from Britney's money. $2 million of which are for his own lawyers, who are the ones trying to keep him in as conservator. So a bit of a conflict of interest here. You know, and this would cover their services from November 2019 to February 2021. And part of this even includes their media inquiries and PR statements. And by there, I mean his lawyers responding to these things, mm-hmm. to the tune of $500 to $900 per hour to respond to these media inquiries. Crazy. About the conservatorship.
Insane.
So no matter what, this just does not look good. Even if he means well, it just seems like a huge conflict of interest. It just doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, how is she supposed to pay for him in this legal battle that ultimately is between the two of them, right. and he controls her?
It's such a tangled mess.
It also doesn't help that he's receiving $16,000 a month for his role as conservator, and he gets another $2,000 a month for office space.
I also, like, what is your office space, my friend?
What are you managing?
Where is your office that you're paying $2,000 a month? Can't you just set up a little room in your house?
That's rent.
Yeah.
That's rent.
Truly.
And he's not doing well health-wise either, so I don't really know what he's doing to earn this $16,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so after this, after basically the judge denies Jody from becoming permanent conservator, people start to speak out on Britney's behalf, which feels, I feel okay saying that finally, because it took a little bit too long, if you ask me.
That's true.
And so her former makeup artist says that she wasn't responsible for her recent social media posts about the documentary, where she basically says that she never watched it, but she was embarrassed by it and cried for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so that post really made it sound like she was denouncing her fans and the Free Britney movement,
right.
when she was allegedly really in support of it all. So the artist says, like, that wasn't her. Don't believe it. It's still the dad. And it comes out, actually, that Britney's dad may have threatened lawsuits against the Free Britney movement and their supporters when it first started, which is basically after he became a conservator, because I think he was trying to quiet down all of the backlash against him taking control of her life. We've yet to find any proof of these lawsuits, but there have been allegations of such.
It's been hard to find any, for that matter, right? Court documents.
It's all very
because it's
hush-hush.
All sealed.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, but, you know, sometimes it does make sense to have things sealed. You want privacy. It's no one's business unless you need people to help you regain control.
I mean, I think especially like for her, right?
That might too, be the
because
case here.
So much of it was mental health struggles that, like, this is actually a matter of her health records and not just
yes
a normal court case.
Yes. I think when she went into it at the height of, you know, in 2008, the height of tabloids just running her down mm-hmm. and ridiculing her, it made sense that things would be sealed.
Yeah.
Now, when she's saying, I want out, now maybe we do need the public pressure
yeah.
to help her out.
Yeah. I mean, especially if she's willing to share her health records via these court cases with the world, why not? It's her health.
Yeah.
It's her it's her privacy.
I guess the dad's arguing you're not fit, right? You don't know what you're saying. I mm-hmm. guess would be the counter. I'm just playing devil's advocate,
yeah, no,
right?
I understand. Yeah.
Like you're
yeah.
just well, like you're delusional.
You're not capable of making that choice.
You're trying to make me look like a bad guy, mm-hmm. right? You're doing that because you're not well.
Mhm.
So it's really, really sad because mm-hmm. it's hard to know
yeah.
Unless you're there. So in June,
yeah.
this is explosive. Britney testifies in court.
Finally, she gets her moment.
She gets her moment. She says that she wants to sue her family.
Which is sad.
Among other things, right? That a lot was said.
We'll go through the list.
Yeah.
we'll get into some of these issues.
Britney and her sister are fighting on Instagram. It's actually very sad. Britney's claiming that Jimmy Lynn did not help Britney at mm-hmm. all while she was struggling and post some subtweets about it. People are not helping her. They're using her. Jamie responds basically wishing for the peace of the Lord to be with Britney. But Britney responds on Instagram and tears her apart, essentially.
Yeah, she basically says, like, take your peace and shove it up your ass. Really?
It's escalated.
Top-notch response.
Yep, escalated. Also mentions that Jamie's been performing her remixes. Like, by her, I mean Britney songs.
Which I did not know.
At award shows.
I don't know what award shows these were happening at, I had no idea about this.
I know. That's very weird.
Maybe it was like the CMAs.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Britney didn't do country music. I'm not really sure where they would
have
been.
Maybe her remixes were country.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. And it's really sad. She says that she's really depressed and can't sleep, that she's going to get therapy and wants to be able to have her own life again and privacy so that she can get married and have a baby. She was allegedly limited to just $2,000 a week, which is crazy if you think about her daddykins getting $16,000.
And also the millions that she makes per year. The fact that she can only use $2,000 a week of her own money.
Yeah. She also claimed that she had to have an IUD put inside her against her wishes, which is crazy.
Yeah. I think that was probably one of the most shocking things that came out because it's just something that you would expect, right? Like, I think we had heard at least rumblings of she can't have visitors and she has to submit Starbucks receipts and dad controls who she texts and who she calls, but something about thinking about somebody having an IUD put in against their will is just...
Yeah, it's like forced sterilization almost.
It's just a step in the craziest direction.
No, it's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I mean, she goes on to say that she feels taken advantage and basically that she's paying for everybody around her to live their lives while she can't live her own. And so at the end of this all, she really asked the judge to end the conservatorship. And she said that previously she didn't know that she could petition to end it. And so that's why she hadn't filed these claims before. Because as a reminder, we said she asked that the judge removed her dad, but she had never previously said that she was opposed to the entire arrangement in and of itself. But it sounds like she had never even gotten good advice or good counseling that was an option.
Yep, that's what that means.
So she again goes on to ask that her dad's removed, but also again asking to just end the entire thing permanently. But in July, her lawyer, Sam Ingram, resigns, and the court agrees that she should finally be able to choose her own lawyer. And I think this was a result of a lot of public pressure after the testimony that she had finally given, because people didn't know what she was going through until she got up and spoke.
Right.
And so, you know, I think he resigned as a result of Britney saying that he had discouraged her from speaking out, and because she said that she didn't know that she could petition to end the arrangement, because I think... Who else would you look to give that guidance to her besides her attorney?
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
No.
And remember, everybody, court appointed.
Yeah. Right?
I did read he did hire outside counsel, Loeb & Loeb, to help him in the case.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. I did find that interesting. And she paid for those fees, too. Mm. So that's 6 figures.
Okay.
Terrible.
Well, so after he steps down, a prominent law firm, Greenberg Traurig, steps up essentially, and a partner there who was a former a partner who was a former federal prosecutor.
Ding, ding, ding.
He worked with Winona Ryder in the past, Ben Affleck, and Steven Spielberg, basically gets to be her attorney. I mean,
big shot.
Somehow she had sought him out and decided that that was who she wanted to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets to step in as her counsel going forward. And so as soon as he is put in that role, he basically immediately calls on Jamie, again, her dad, to resign as her conservator and says that he'll be filing paperwork as soon as possible. And so it's worth noting that that day that this Greenberg Traurig partner steps up, the judge denied the request to remove Jamie from the conservatorship. And I think a lot of people were really outraged by this because it was following her testimony. It was following her getting a new, attorney. So people were like, why? How come?
We
just heard
bad.
All this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really worth noting that this ruling was based on a previous request in November to remove her father and not the testimony from the June hearing, because it obviously takes time for courts to process and review things. So those were not directly in correlation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So generally this was a big win for her. It shows that the court thinks that she's capable of making her own decisions, and we're talking about hiring her own counsel, right? Because that's something that she wasn't afforded previously. So basically, at least she can make decisions in some capacity, since she ultimately had to enter into a contract to hire the attorney, right? Mm-hmm. So now she's having conversations. Great. And then on the co-conservator front, because remember, it was Jamie and that Bessemer Trust handling her finances, Jody handling her personal.
Yep.
Bessemer Trust actually resigns. They said that they're resigning now because they didn't know that Britney didn't want the conservatorship. They were told by her lawyer that this was a voluntary arrangement.
That just feels like bullshit to me.
I don't believe it. You think the public eye is making them look bad?
I mean, maybe for a few years they thought that it was voluntary, which... still doesn't really make sense to me, but like maybe they didn't know for some time that she wanted out and that she was not, you know, into her dad running things. Mm-hmm. But over what, the past year now, at least, we've known that she's like, I don't want Jamie to be involved.
My guess is one of two things. My theories. One, she never even spoke to any of these people because her dad handled right. everything. Yep. So she was completely unaware of everything. Mm-hmm. And I mm-hmm. guess this is kind of, actually, I don't know if this is even one of two. It might be 1A and 1B. But the other thing is she was not informed about what her rights were, mm-hmm. which blows my mind because you would think her dad, at the very least, her family, her sister, her mother, whoever, grandma, I don't care, boyfriend, lawyer, anybody say, hey, at any time, you can get out of this. This is for your benefit. Because then maybe she would feel more empowered to do things to get out of it if she could.
I wonder how many of them even knew, though, because I think that because to your point, because it's so uncommon that people get out of conservatorships, I wonder how many of her family members and people around her who are not like attorneys were sophisticated enough to even know that that was an option.
So maybe dad is ruling all.
I think so.
And is the mastermind of everything.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, days later, after Bessemer resigns, her manager, Larry Rudolph, also resigns.
Everybody's going.
He'd been working with her since 1995, quite mm-hmm. a while, but somehow hadn't spoken to her for 2.5 years. Aware that she wants to retire, so believes it's in her best interest to resign, is the story.
Oh, yeah. Also, I don't know if at any point during the testimony did I hear her say anything about retiring.
I think she's been saying that she wants to live in private, but I think recently, I guess she said, I'm not going to perform while my dad's in charge.
Right, which makes it sound like she's open to performing. So yeah. I don't know where the retirement piece came from. I frankly also just think it was bad publicity and the public outcry basically getting to him.
Yeah.
And him thinking, like, I just can't do this in good conscience anymore.
Yeah, well, I think it's an image thing. Now, that people are aware that this might be a scam, well, now I don't want to be associated with it right. anymore. So right. I'm gonna look like a good guy. Whoa, Brittany said she doesn't want to do this anymore? I had no idea. Okay, yeah. I respect you now, Brittany.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you'd never talked to her before and she never vocalized any of this before? None of it? None mm-hmm. of it? She was just happy the entire time?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
It's all bullshit.
But Jody's still on board and in control of her personal matters. Said she's always advocated for Brittany's well-being, but asked for security detail because of threats she's been receiving since Brittany's testimony. So I guess people see Jody as part of the system. That's my guess of why they're threatening her. But
which kind of sucks because she was just appointed by the court as a temporary conservator after Brittany's dad got sick. So it's not like she chose to be in this arrangement. And yeah. It's unclear like what she's even kind of enforced on a personal scale in Brittany's life since becoming temporary.
Right. Well, she's a professional conservator, right? So I think what helps is she's disinterested.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure she's getting a fee. We all know she gets a fee, yep. but she's her other legal fees are not being fronted by Brittany. No. At least, you know, she's a little bit further removed. And at the end of the day, the conservatorship is still in place.
Yeah.
So while it's still in place, let's have somebody Brittany actually wants, and Brittany has said, I want Jody.
Yeah.
So let's have Jody on if that's what Brittany wants until we can get rid of the conservatorship.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
Well, so the most problematic one of them all, Jamie, her dad is still basically on board with the conservatorship and is in control of her finances. Brittany has made it quite clear, as Alexa said, that she's not going to perform as long as he's controlling what she does and wears. You know, it's, I wonder now that everybody else has resigned, right? Like we've just named what, three people, the attorney, Bessemer Trust, and her manager, whether Jamie will resign, kind of like everybody else did. Mm-hmm. Especially now that she has this attorney who's aggressively kind of stepping in to say mm-hmm. that he's going to file papers. And he's from a major law firm. So he's really got a lot of manpower behind him to do the research and to pull the facts and to put together a really compelling case. So I wonder if he's even going to want to stay in power and keep pursuing this arrangement.
Right. It'll be interesting to see. But if the dad's whole spiel is, I'm doing this for the best, I would be surprised if he steps down
fair. Yeah, that's not a bad point.
You know, if he is as controlling as we think that he might be, he doesn't see wrong in any of this. Mm-hmm. So he's going to think, F you, I know what's best for my daughter. It's me.
Yeah.
So anyway, BBC's planning to make a documentary on Brittany and the conservatorship recently, greenlit. It's going to follow BAFTA-winning journalist Mobeen Azar as he travels from Brittany's hometown to L.A., where he speaks with friends, fans, et cetera. I feel like we're gonna see a lot of this.
I can see that being actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Like hearing the behind the scenes and what people who were close to her think. Because the documentary that we watched was obviously pretty professional. Mm-hmm. Or the one that came out last year, I should say, was pretty professional in the sense that it had like attorneys and conservators and people who were well knowledge, but people who didn't necessarily know Britney well.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to hear, you know, what her circle thinks about this entire past, what is it, 13 years now since 2008? Yeah, almost 13 math. Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be, I'm interested. I mean, separately though, after the big Harry and Meghan interview on Oprah, fans started begging Oprah basically on all platforms to get involved and give Britney the same opportunity. Mm-hmm. And allegedly Britney's interested in telling her story, but she said that she's not ready for Oprah just yet, which I could see. I mean, first of all, I think Oprah is a queen and an angel, so I'm sure she would handle it gently, but it's also, that's a big moment and a lot of press, and we've obviously, when we were preparing for the original episode, watched a lot of clips where it was clear that she was getting overwhelmed in some of those situations. Yes. So she might not be ready for that. And then the obvious, of course, in all of this is that the conservatorship makes it really difficult for her to take part in anything like that because she's got all these people controlling her every single move.
Right. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, but I did see some stuff from Britney's Instagram, and we know that there's some speculation that it's not actually Britney.
Yeah.
But let's pretend in this instance it was, mm-hmm. that she said that she's just trying to enjoy life right now, that yeah. she worked for so much of her life. And we talked a little bit about this on the actual Britney episode too, that she just wants to enjoy. And I could imagine if she's able to get out of this conservatorship, she just wants to enjoy being in control of her own life. So yeah. she doesn't have to come perform for us. She doesn't have to come talk to Oprah.
Right, right.
People want all this information, and I think to an extent feel entitled to it. Mm, but I'd say mm-hmm. like, hey, we need to be informed in so much as that we can help spread information that mm-hmm. will help her for the best, but we don't need to be nosy about it and get into the weeds and the details of her life just to know it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So again, this is going to be definitely one to track. We'll probably have another updates episode for this one and Girardi.
Yep.
Because these are huge ongoing legal battles.
Yeah. And so for Britney, the next basically piece in this here in the case and the hearing will take place at the end of September. So hopefully, to your point, she gets the next couple of months to kind of relax and enjoy life, especially given the major testimony that she just gave last month,
right?
And how explosive that really all was. So we'll definitely, to your point, keep tracking this and keep everybody updated.
Keep it going. Well, here's to the end of season one officially.
Woohoo!
Congrats, girl. We yeah. made it. Any parting advice to our listeners?
My parting advice would be to read your contracts and hire A-grade attorneys like Alexa and I.
A-grade.
A-grade.
A1 from day one.
A++.
What's
yours?
I'm going to say, I don't know if mine's going to be, well, no, it should be legal. I was going to say, yeah, same thing. Read the stuff that you sign. Be empowered. You guys are all capable of it. And if you're not, there are people who can help you. Mm-hmm. So don't let anybody take advantage. Don't let anybody talk you in or out of things. And if you need a smile on your face, come listen to us.
And send your friends here too.
Yeah. Tell everybody about us.
Make sure you review us. Go to Apple. Leave us a 5-star review.
We need some more 5 stars.
Yeah. We'll give you a shout out on Thirsty Thursdays on our Instagram.
Thirsty Thursdays, man. I'm enjoying Thirsty Thursdays, I gotta say.
Thank you.
So write some reviews, get featured on our Thirsty Thursday post, and we'll see you next season.
Season 2, here we come.
What it do, baby? All right, then. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, feel free to connect with us on our socials at Legally Judgy. Until season 2.
Bye.